Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go. It's a True North podcast live from Seattle, Washington, where Billy North is up there. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, down in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, I realize 30 minutes goes by quick. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as we lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, Bill, the threes to you. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And we bring in your old buddy for part two of an interview. We're going to go about 20 minutes because he's got to get out of here. He's a popular guy. Andy Dolich, his book just came to me this week, Goodbye Oakland. And I can't wait to dive into that and talk about that with him. You know, and boy, we are so blessed, Bill, along with yourself, man, to do this each and every week. Take it away, man. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you.
Well, you can reach me at Bill Norte, BILLNORTE15@gmail.com. I'm doing pretty good, Mark. I'm glad to have Andy back. I'm going to baseball game as soon as I get off of the phone, too. So,
and I'm happy that when Bill came to Oakland, it was hello, Oakland, not goodbye, Oakland. And they just they won some games. I would help our listeners. My photograph is hanging on a lot of post office walls. So if you're looking to contact me, just go in any local post office and you'll see an APB on. So it shouldn't be hard to track me down.
Yeah, and I can't wait to get in this interview. We're down to 19 minutes with them, Billy, so shoot away.
I like I said, I was going to say something about a black stripe across my eyes, but I thought I'd leave that one alone in the movies. But Andy, how you been?
I've been good. I've been, since we talked the last time, in the ongoing soap opera of the Oakland A's and Commissioner Rob Manfred, who I like to call Commissioner Manfred Mann, you remember, the great Manfred Mann. And John Fisher and Tim Kuehn and Dave Cavill. Now the commissioner has decided to open up a war of words with the mayor, the new mayor of Oakland. Her name is Sheng Tao. And that's going to accomplish absolutely nothing. So each and every day, there's another sort of page to what the A's are doing. And, of course, I guess the good news for manager Mark Kotze is just a few more games. I think, Billy, they're at 108 losses. Is that even comprehensible? You can't lose 108 games.
108 games? I don't think I was ever on a team that lost 100 games.
You could play for 5 years, you wouldn't be on a team that lost 108 games.
Shoot, 50 years. But, no. Mark, Andy, I wanted to ask you something. I wanted to ask you for you to give me your job description.
Oh, my job description.
You do so many things.
I was a Brooklyn-born moron who couldn't do anything, so he went into the sports business and became an executive in the Big Four sports, plus indoor box lacrosse, fan-controlled football, the basketball tournament on ESPN, and no mud wrestling or sumo, but all of those other sports. And to be, which we shouldn't be, but my job, to answer it directly, is, Andy, you have to generate revenue in marketing, promotions, advertising, anything else, parking, food and beverage. We, the owner, can players. That was my job. sell. And who was it? The great Alec Baldwin. Always be closing. Always be selling.
Yeah, amen. Well, you did. You had some success. You got the A's. I looked at that, and you had came in there, had 580 some season ticket holders.
326, Billy. Let's be factual. 326 season ticket holders and 6-3. You can't make that up. It's like 108 losses, but it's true. And
yeah.
5 years later, 6 years later, we had 16,000 season tickets.
I saw that. Yeah.
Wow.
Those teams in sports and that you were involved with, and I said, this looked like snake oil salesman to me.
Unbelievable. So guys, let me bring this up to you real quick. They're 48-109. They have matched my age. 61 years old. 61 games under 500. But here is the question I want to present to both of you guys. And I had a conversation over lunch with a buddy of mine. You know, if the A's could have worked out a deal and they got a ballpark like the Giants did, rather than move to Vegas, doesn't this owner understand, or Rob Manfred understand, that if you keep carpetbagging these teams out of cities and drive up the cost in other cities, the fans can't take their kids to the game, so when the parents move on, and go to the, not a knock. They go to an assisted living or something, God bless them. But the kids aren't going to know what this sport is all about because they couldn't afford to go with it in the first place. Is this a far-fetched thing that these guys don't look at? Andy and Bill, we'll start with you, Andy, and then get it over to Bill. But do they understand that they're knocking off the future of the fans going to these things? Nobody's going to be able to afford these tickets because – they're going into high-priced venues now, and you're driving the ticket prices skyrocketing. You should have stayed in Oakland, built a stadium there, and everybody can afford to go.
Well, you're preaching to me, and I totally buy that. And if you look at Billy and the people that he played with, Halls of Famers, winning 3 consecutive World Series. We talked about this last time. The Bash Brothers,
yeah.
Dave Stewart, Dennis Eckersley. Captain Sal Bando, and on and on and on. Even Charlie Finley with his mule in the outfield, or the A's stomper elephant. That's how kids get involved in the game. And now if nobody's going, they're not going to be involved, and they're going to be playing pickleball or be on their skateboards or playing fantasy baseball. They're not going to be coming to the games in Las Vegas, and I totally agree, a new stadium could have already been built if John Fisher would have had a different strategy. But his view is he thinks the slot machine is going to explode in Vegas. I agree. The slot machine is going to explode, and it's going to explode in his face, and the same thing with Rob Manfred.
Hey, I'm telling you.
And not only that, before I give it over to you, Bill, this comment came in last week, and I wanted to bring it up. It was a guy out of Peoria, Arizona. Kenneth came in. He's an avid listener to the shows. He basically said, hey, if a guy buys a team, he can do whatever he wants. We don't own the team, so if he wants to move the team to another city, that's his prerogative. It's sad to see teams move. But you know what? He bought the team. Nobody else stepped up, so he could do whatever he wants with it. I totally disagree with this listener on that question, Bill and Andy, because that team has been in the city more so than you had the money to buy the team. Am I right or wrong, Bill?
I'll let Billy answer that first, and I'll give you my answer. But, Billy,
I'll
you go.
I'll tell you this much. In answer to Mark's initial question, I paid $19.78 for a beer last night at the ball game. And as far as the man in Arizona, hey man, everybody got an opinion. I look at the societal commitment. And I think that there's a compelling story to be able to, for baseball to be able to have success in Oakland. And it's been there for a long time. And they just refuse to do it because of that thing we used to talk about, Mark. Rich people get rich just to make other rich people richer. And this is without any purpose, okay? Their only purpose is to get richer. They're getting ready to give a ball player $500 million, and he's already rich, okay? But they'll march a kid out there that had cancer and at the All-Star game and have him run around the bases, which is a glorious story. When you have that much money with no purpose, I think you want to help about a million other kids that have cancer.
Yeah.
That's just me. But
Billy answered the question. Billy answered the question correctly in that the owners have yet to vote on the move to Kansas City. Will they? I believe they will, because they're going to get richer. They don't care about John Fisher. He's the lab rat in all of this. And you've got Chicago talking about new ballpark. You got St. Louis. You got Milwaukee, all these owners, Philadelphia, those guys, the three people on the expansion committee guys, are all in cities that want more public money to improve their ballpark. So they're using, in my mind, they're using Fisher as the example to help them in their city, and they're hurting the future of the game.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that, not only that, when you look at what's going on with these guys and you look at the Manfred, you know, you talk about the integrity of the game of baseball. You talk about everything, but you don't even look at their tradition of this. This is not a team that was born in 1996 at the Colorado Rockies and the Florida Marlins. This is a team that's been in Oakland, has been a staple there, that was put on the map by Bill North and his band of A's that, you know, won three in a row there. So now you're going to take a team out, and we talked about this last week. You know, when does somebody in the room say, hey, you know what, you can't do that? And I'm waiting. We might not see this, guys. You might not see it, Bill. Andy might not see it, and I might not see it. I'm waiting for the guy that comes in with the foreign money that says, I'm going to move the Yankees out of town. And there is going to be an uproar because somebody's going to stand up in the room and go, you can't move the biggest market out of this city into another city. And the guy's going to say, well, I own the team. I can do whatever the hell I want. That's when it might stop, guys. Andy, any comment on that one?
The Argentina A's. I can see it now. The Argentina A's. Holy mackerel, you're right. But let's think about something seriously for a moment. The great Brooks Robinson just passed.
Is there a guy that
represented the game? I'm sure, Billy, you knew him personally. That represented the game as well as anybody ever has. And after all these years of the Orioles being a very, very uncompetitive ball club, look at the magic of this year. How magnificent is that? Because ownership said, what? Let's spend the money to win. We have a smaller city, but we have a great tradition. And it just hit me when I heard about Brooks, like, holy mackerel. Look at that, the way that baseball works that you were talking about. Young kids, Brooks Robinson, the Orioles being a team that has a chance to win a World Series this year. Whoever would have thought that 6 months ago?
You're speaking about a man that I did know quite well, and you know, through just being around him, and that he was infectious and a kind and kind and happy person, and I just want to send my condolences to his family, and that
unbelievable.
We lost a good one right there, boy.
You think about Brooks Robinson, Boog Powell, Earl Weaver just F-bombing everybody in the history of umpiring 92 times a year. Like, that was the team, like, okay, these guys are cool. Where's Baltimore? I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Well,
cool.
here's the question I want to throw at you guys, and I know we're going to lose you, Andy, in about 8 minutes. I think the other guy that's on that level, and I could be wrong, but I remember watching him growing up, and another prominent guy on a ball club and in the city, I think when you look at Brooks Robinson, Mike Schmidt is right there with them. I mean, I think both of them. I don't know, Bill. You played against these guys. You've seen these guys, and Andy, you've covered a lot of things, and you've been right there. But Mike Schmidt.
Can I tell you a quick Mike Schmidt story? This is absolutely true. Okay, but here's a quick one. So I was lucky enough to go to the Ohio University, not Ohio State, the Ohio University Sports Management Program, the first program of its kind in the country. So I go there in 1970. I'm looking out the window because I'm not paying attention to the professor. And I'm looking at the baseball field, and I see a guy at shortstop, and I go, like, wow, that guy's a hell of an athlete. And then I saw him later that afternoon in intramural basketball, and he was the best player there. And then I saw him do this, and I went, who's that guy? And they go, oh, that guy? That's Mike Schmidt. And I go, who's Mike Schmidt? And I watched Mike Schmidt, and I'm a brilliant baseball scout. So I watched Mike Schmidt, and OU had a really good baseball team. The coach was Bob Rand. They'd go to the NCAAs. And my scouting report on Mike Schmidt when I left OU was like, you know, that guy has a really good chance to be a very good minor league ball player. And arguably became, one of the top three third basemen of all time. And, Billy, you know this, one of the greatest all-around athletes that anybody's seen.
That would be the first thing I'd say, is that, you know what, until you see this guy move, he moves totally like the best athlete you ever want. I mean, the way he moves, he was so smooth, and he was strong. He was strong.
Oh, boy. He could have played quarterback at any major college. And you think about the difference between him and Brooks from an athletic standpoint. Significant. They were both the best.
Brooks couldn't run. He had a so-so arm. And but you know what? Quick story. I got a picture here at the house of me hitting a ball past Brooks Robinson. I took that picture with me. Somebody sent it to me. I took that picture with me when I was going on to one of the events with the Alumni Association, and I had him sign it. Because in my memorabilia, this is truly an artifact, because there was no way to make a living hitting the ball down on Brooks Robinson.
Yeah.
You have to get a new
job. We got 2 minutes with Andy, and I will throw these three guys at you because they have milestones in a lot of cities. The number one guy I'm going to throw out there is my idol, Willie Stargell. I'm going to be a little biased there. But the other two guys are Phillies, and that's Lozinski and Schmidt. If you look around at all these old ballparks, man, I think there's milestones with these three guys, and I'm sure you guys have three guys of your own, but I'm going to roll with these three.
I'm not going to argue with you. Lozinski was just, like, powerful, right? See you later.
Deadest thing ever. I saw him hit a ball back through the middle off of Bert Hooten when I first came up. And this ball would have knocked him to the center field wall.
Okay, so as I have 1 minute left, there's one name that I will throw in here, and that is Frank Howard. Are you kidding me? Frank Howard.
He hit him high, Andy. He hit him real high.
Far. and gone.
Yeah, but would you take Frank over at Stargell? Stargell put two in the park in a lot of Dodgers
Stadium. Stargell is an Oakland East Bay guy. But okay, so I got to run. Always fun.
Yeah.
Happy to be with you guys.
Oh, I love you. Hey, let everybody know about your book. Let everybody know about your book real fast
book
before we lose you.
Goodbye, Oakland, Winning, Wanderlust, and a Sports Town Fight for Survival by Dave Newhouse, the 30-year lead sports columnist of the former Oakland Tribune, and yours truly, one of the dumbest guys you know.
Go
to Amazon.com and you can read about Billy North, the Oakland A's, the Oakland Raiders, the Golden Seals, the Golden State Warriors, and everything about the city of Oakland and their 10 world championships. So until the next time, guys, be safe, be good, be
Thank
cool.
you so much, Andy. I appreciate
it. Oh,
you.
We love him. Unbelievable. There he goes. He's going to get, you know, he's a busy guy. You got Billy and like you. And, man, oh, man, so you were at the Mariner game yesterday watching your buddy Dusty Baker bring the Astros
Monday
through.
You know I got to go because Baker's in town. So,
yeah. So let me tell you, the boy, that's a dogfight in there. I mean, the Astros, I think I got a half a game lead on the Mariners. Texas has hit 10 home runs in two games, Sunday and Monday. This is going to be a dogfight. The two teams I have in the American League, I know you got Dusty Baker, and I don't want to, if he's listening to this show, the two I had in the beginning of the year, I'll roll with them, Seattle and Toronto. Baltimore, remarkable story, but I'm not sold on it because they don't have the experience that some of these other teams have going into this thing. I don't know who you have in this thing, but you Seattle looks good.
Well, we'll see. You know who looks good is Texas. Now, I got to tell a story, Mark. I'm going to the baseball game tonight with one of my friends. He's a former CEO of the American Foundation for the Blind. His name is Kirk Adams. And he's just a principal fellow, and he's blind, but he loves to go to the baseball game. And you sit there and you give him a running commentary, and it's so invigorating, and it makes you think who has a disability. You know, I think it's more me than it is him, and just a wonderful thing. And so you guys out there, if you got a little disability or something, don't give up. Just keep going out there, and there's a baseball game for you somewhere.
Yeah. So now we're getting in the final five games of the year. Any surprises or anything that you're looking at?
Texas Rangers. They got that's a hell of a managing job that Bochy's doing. That if Bochy isn't the manager of the year, there ain't no baseball.
I totally agree with that thing. That is going to be something to look at what he's actually been doing there. So that's going to be the thing. And I think the manager of the year in the National League is going to be either Skip Schumacher of the Marlins. Or David Bell of the Reds. I mean, the Reds were left for dead last year. Look what they've done this year. So
David Bell, he used to play up here in Seattle. That's Buddy Bell's son, isn't it?
Buddy Bell's kid, yeah. Buddy
yeah.
Bell, and, you know, unbelievable when you look at what they've accomplished. But I think,
and
you know, the one
Bell.
Guy, and I'll tell
dad.
You. Yeah.
His dad was Gus Bell, wasn't it?
Gus Bell, Buddy Bell, and then David Bell. Kind of like the Boones, you know.
There you go.
You know, Boone,
Ray,
and then there was Aaron and Brett. And, the Boones are another family coming out.
Well, Ray Boone,
you know, when you look at
– their grandfather was a ball player, too.
Oh,
Ray
yeah.
Boone.
Yeah.
That's
you know, let me ask you something. But you know, I'm not a big Dodger guy, but I will tell you this. I really like, Dave Roberts, and he doesn't get a lot of credit, but getting this team closer to 100 wins, I think they were 97 so far with like 4 or 5 games left. But when you look at what Dave Roberts has had to endure, you know, the pitching hasn't been there. They had to bring up rookies and everything. I think Dave Roberts has to be considered for manager of the year, believe it or not.
Yeah. I mean, but you got them guys right there. They've been there. He's been managing them he didn't do nothing but do the same thing he's done for the last 10 years.
Yeah. Well, and not only – see, here's the thing with a manager like that. You know, I know people count the 2020 World Series, and I kind of look at it and I kind of go, I'm waiting for a full season winner here. But when I look at Dave Roberts, I kind of think of Don Mattingly, in some ways where, he couldn't get over the hump with winning. You know, I know they win regular seasons, but people look at you and you got to win titles. And, you talk about Bruce Bochy, your buddy there, Dusty Baker, has won wherever he's been. San Francisco, Washington, Chicago, Cincinnati. He goes to Houston, wins a title. I mean, Bochy's another one. Jimmy Leland you can throw into that thing. Those three guys, wherever you put them, they seem to win. Tony La Russa.
Yeah. But that's a 2000 win club right there. Leland was a good manager. He reminded me of Dick Williams a lot too.
Another guy that won, and wherever he went, whether it was Florida, whether it was college, he went all Detroit, he went to places, Pittsburgh, and he kind of put them on the map there. And then even when you look at the guys in your the 70s, the Earl Weavers, the Walter Alstons, the Sparky Andersons, those kind of guys won all over the place too.
Oh, the Gil Hodges.
Now let me ask you, because you played with Chicago, the manager in Chicago at the time you played with
was a guy named DeRocher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Leo. Yeah.
The first Yankee to wear number 7, I believe.
First who?
I think it was DeRocher.
I think he's number 2 though. That's the one they retired or something like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what he wore when he was with the Cubs.
A manager.
I'm pretty sure it was a number 2. But I think he had forgotten a lot of baseball by the time I got there. So,
it's amazing. Hey, as we wind it, and I know next week, we'll have some great guests come through here. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. I know Baker's in town up there in Seattle. I'm sure you're going to enjoy another game up there tonight.
Yeah. I want to put a plug in for the North Legacy Project.
Yeah, yeah, put a plug in.
When my mom passed away in 2017, we developed in 2018. And we're in the process now of expanding it and going to some other helpful things. Our thing is about helping kids and that. And my mom was the first black woman to ever work on the floor at Nordstrom in 1952. And she went on to work in Seattle Public Schools till she was 89 years old. And
God bless her.
But you can go online and look up North Legacy Project, and we appreciate any donations. Again, the website's under construction, but we got to keep going, and we appreciate.
Hey, Billy, I love you dearly. I am so blessed to do this with you. Peter Ray in Cleveland loves you. Just so blessed. We got to get next week. We'll have a special guest. whether it's coming on my side or your side. We can't wait to do it same time, same channel. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, too.
Yeah, I'm at Bill Norte, BillNorte15@gmail.com. And I just want to thank you guys for listening to us and letting us ramble on.
Oh, yeah. Each and every week. They love us. Yeah. And also Andy Dolich out there in Oakland. The three of us got to get to a game next year, definitely, because I got to get to one of those games in Oakland next year, because if they're moving, I got to get in there. And maybe that's my best chance to get a foul ball. Four, Billy North up in Seattle with Dusty Baker and the Astros.
The guy
truly
sitting next to me. The guy sitting next to me got a foul ball last night.
Oh my! You said to the guy, "Hey, my co-host Mancini's looking for one."
Yeah, you got to
go. Oh my God! Hey, catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. We'll see you next week, same time, same channel. We love you guys. Thanks for tuning in and making us a great show. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, guys. Yep.